Many African-American people cherish family gatherings where food and love is abundant. So naturally, many of the great moments in viral videos made by black folks are also some of the yummiest. We can't get enough of these amazing artists who celebrate the food we all love.
Today, comedian Matt Brown joins us to take a look at some amazing African-American viral food videos. Listen as we savor James Wright Chanel's glorious tribute to Patti LaBelle's sweet potato pies that made them sell out at Walmart.
Plus, T.S. Madison cooks up a storm twice on Cooking with Drag Queens and on Facebook Live.
How Auntie Fee turned $3 into a meal for 7 people.
Paula Deen steals credit for the Luther Burger.
And Shirley Caesar, the queen of gospel music who became synonymous with Thanksgiving for her gospel tribute to beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lambs, rams, hogs, chickens, turkeys, rabbits.
You name it. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people just like you. Thank you. Become a member and support this show at feastoffun.com/plus.
On today's podcast, we got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lambs, rams, hogs, dogs.
Chicken, turkeys, rabbits.
You name it.
You name it.
We're going to eat it.
Yes. That is the wonderful Matt Brown singing Shirley Caesar's iconic Thanksgiving church remix song.
Oh, yes. We love Miss Shirley Caesar. We always have.
Now, you actually know who Shirley Caesar is way before that moment occurred.
Well, of course, because underneath it all, I am actually 78 and a half years old. I swear, I'm 20, but I'm the vampire Lestat.
You look fabulous for her, but it's probably because of all the blood you suck.
Oh, yeah. True. I mean, I spin it, sure, make sure they're on prep, then I suck the blood. But, there's some questions I need to ask. But, because Shirley Caesar is, an acclaimed, Oscar, Grammy-winning, gospel singer. And, she's, been around since, 70s, 80s. She's,
Did your family play Shirley Caesar when you grew up?
We were, they're a little bit different on, the church music that kind of went through. Mm-hmm. So it was, a little bit less Shirley Caesar. But, Shirley, Gladys, it all was just, 70s, we love the Lord.
Mm. And so, but she kind of hit mainstream. A lot of people kind of knew her because she had a viral video. She was in church,
a couple years ago.
And she just was singing about the food they were going to eat, right?
It was about comfort food.
About comfort food.
And it was around Thanksgiving, about 6 years. It was posted on the internet. And then about 6 years later, a gentleman, DJ Suede, remixed it and turned it into a single.
Thank you, DJ Suede.
And it caught fire. And for Thanksgiving, everybody was dancing to it and, lip syncing to it.
You can shake your ass to that beat.
Yeah.
You can.
And I think DJ, made some good coin about it. So then Shirley Caesar's now wait a second, honey.
So she wanted in on the action.
So she started doing the talk show circuit and released her own single. Very much young gentleman who went testified that he didn't like women's no more. He likes women.
Men's.
No, I like men's no more. It's a whole gospel moment.
I follow him on Facebook. He's a freak.
I am sure of that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure of that.
By freak, what do you mean?
He's just always crazy and always talking about how the Lord, and he doesn't like men and stuff. And I'm just right.
If you're thinking about it 4 times a week to post it on Facebook, you like men. Still like men.
An interesting theme that we've heard about cultural appropriation in African-American history is that somebody who comes up with the content or the idea usually gets usurped by other people or other African Americans as well. And they don't usually get paid for the creativity that they led to that viral moment.
Well, yeah, you guys know about that old story of how Ray Charles would make them pay him in singles so that way he could hear the bills go down and know they weren't fucking him.
What? Really?
Because he knew he couldn't see it, but he's like, no, I need ones. No, I'll stand right here. Thank you. And he would, so that way he would know.
that he got the money.
Yeah, yeah. And like Aretha Franklin, we talked about how she needed 25 grand to get on stage. But that's
in
like,
a suitcase. But, no, in the purse. In a purse. She put it in a purse. Yeah.
But like that's historical. So
when you see Aretha Franklin performing it with a purse, there's money in that purse.
Exactly. Because she might want a burger afterwards and you don't know how much she's going to want to tip.
Honey, that Pizza Hut, deliver me.
Come on, baby, deliver me.
So Shirley Caesar, much like other people who've had viral moments go without their agency, started releasing a lot of products and cookbooks and went on the talk show circuit and
released her single.
Yeah, she wanted to capitalize on it. And, you know, which she went on the Wendy Williams show.
Yes, we love Wendy.
And in one great moment, she kind of asked her what she thought about it. And she, Shirley Caesar, rubs her fingers like, it's money.
And then she took the two fingers, she was rubbing them together to signify money. And then she used them to smooth out the back of her wig. Because, you see, that's where she's going to put the money when she gets it. Right under her wig, because the police never look. But no white cop's going to check under your wig. Not one.
No, that's a good thing to know.
As we like to think that, you know, African-American people certainly have a really great chance with the internet to speak out of their own agency and to be heard and to be seen and celebrated. And I would argue that, you know, certainly the diversity that we see in popular music today is thanks for the internet, that we just can listen to what we enjoy and not certainly feel like we're sort of limited to one thing a marketing agency has over another.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But a lot of these African-American... Today, we're taking a look at great moments in African-American food videos and also sort of looking at the way people still to this day look at African-American and associate them with comfort foods, but also as sort of an eclectic act to scrutinize or to look with contempt or disdain or love.
It's like a weird thing because it does like it's a very there's history to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it totally comes from like the American history of slavery and that whole idea. Like back in the day, like a house that was built in the 1800s, the kitchen wasn't even connected to the house. It was like separate from the house. And that's like the slaves would cook out there and then they'd bring food in.
How would they bring the food in?
Giant pots.
But I mean, so they would carry it in. They would walk it in.
Depends on where you are. It depends
on
what
climate you are. They would call an Uber from one side of the plantation to the other.
But yeah, I mean, certainly you look at a lot of big homes, the kitchen is definitely not seen as an integral part of the living room or dining room area. Whereas, you know, a lot of modern homes and apartments, certainly like ours, you know, the kitchen and the living room are the same thing.
But I mean, that just goes to show that and even it was built into the architectural culture of the South that like black people were associated with food, like a white woman did not cook. And so like when you have Aunt Jemima and then when you've got like Paula Deen coming in and then making all the money off of it, all those like ideas of Southern food. Mm. But then it comes around 100 years later and then Patti LaBelle can make the money off of it. Then Shirley Caesar can make the money off of that. So it's like, if you wait long enough, eventually you'll make the coin. But, like, it takes kind of 3,000 generations. Kind of.
Yeah, and certainly, you know, like, if you look at the phenomenon of James Wright Chanel, he's another gospel singer who we're friends with on Facebook long before that Patty's Pie moment.
How did you get connected with him?
I don't know. He just happened to be on my
circuit party.
And I just thought he was funny and just really, you know, vibrant, hilarious, joyful young man who liked to sing and do video blogs. And so I started following him and chatting with him and stuff. And one day he went to Walmart and got himself some Patti LaBelle sweet potato pies and he brought it home. And in front of the camera, he was just like, I think he was even live streaming it. He just started talking about how if you eat Patti LaBelle's sweet potato pie, you can start singing like Patti LaBelle. And because he's such an amazing gospel singer in his own right, it really sounded like this big guy suddenly like, would you say that Patti LaBelle has a sound that she makes?
Oh, yeah. She has a signature that you'll notice with her. She will just immediately flip into head voice for no reason. She'll just be like, the pie. Like, just like she's right in the middle and then, just for no reason. Yodel. She yodels.
At the time, James Wright Chanel bought the Patti LaBelle pies. They sold for $2.99 at Walmart.
That's a cheap ass pie.
2 weeks later, the pies were all sold out at Walmart, and they were selling for hundreds of dollars on eBay.
We tried to get one.
We could not. We went for this show. I went to Walmart, they're like, we all sold out about that.
Okay, now, I was never surprised about the Patti LaBelle pies, because this is some historical. About 10 years ago, she used to have a TV show on Lifetime about cooking. Mm-hmm. Living it up, yeah, with Patti LaBelle. And she would, like, fucking cut up celery and shit and act like she ate it and, like, walk by a piano and not play it. Like, she, it was just, like, a whole moment.
Well,
it,
she's diabetic, right? So she had a whole, like, series
of,
like,
food. She's like, I cook with sweet and low. And then she'd, like, sneak in a bunch of sugar, like Paula Deen, and then just move on.
Now, Jamie Rochelle was really instrumental in helping Patti LaBelle sweet potato pies sell out at Walmart. TMZ approached Patti LaBelle and said, what do you think about that? You know, she's like, honey, it was all me, not him. You know, just basically taking credit.
Just fine.
Selling just fine. And a lot of African-American bloggers had something to say. And most memorable was T.S. Madison, who went on her stream and said, Patti LaBelle, you did not do that on your own. You need to get a new attitude.
Use your own words against ya.
And so Patti LaBelle sort of sung a different song and invited James Rochelle to tour with her.
Wow.
And to sing with her on stage.
Well, she invited him over to his house. I think it was his birthday.
For his birthday, correct.
Which was also like around, was it also a holiday? Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
And so we heard from a, you know,
through the grapevine,
anonymous source that Patti LaBelle gave James Rochelle. I think it's on video.
It's on video. You can see she gave him some Louis Vuitton bags.
Oh yes, she takes care of her people.
But we heard through
scratch,
the grapevine,
record scratch,
that it was you know, it's like, okay, he comes over to the house. She's like, okay, here's some bags. Now get out. Yeah, she didn't say that tip, but from what I understand, the bags were used.
Oh, of course. Oh, of course. They are a re-gift, and there was probably like a Tampax wrapper at the bottom of one of them. Like, because that was like her going out Vuitton, you know? Like her, because that was probably Patty's hoe bag that she was giving away. You know when you pack one real fast?
Patty's got a hoe bag.
Because Patty's got a hoe bag, because she doesn't tour all year long. Like, Berry Gordy is lonely, and she's got to go give it to... Like, so, like... She has a hoe bag, and that's what your friend got.
What's in your hoe bag?
What's in my hoe bag? Mouthwash. not normal lube, because not even, like, regular platinum is going to be enough. Just olive oil. We cook with it. Multi-purpose.
You really use olive oil instead of lubricant?
No, that's disgusting!
That's not good. I had sex one time with a guy who was insisting on using olive oil.
I had someone offer...
And guess what? He was Greek. And I was like, you don't...
You can't do that.
Don't do that.
Still, coconut has more of a better slippery slide than olive oil.
Yeah. I was like, I mean, it's nice for a massage, but...
Yeah.
You know what? Actually, hot olive oil is great if you're suffering from dandruff. Give yourself, your scalp, a warm olive oil, not facial, but... Sculptural?
Yeah. It's called a hair mask.
A hair mask.
As the African American person in the room. We're quite familiar with Dems. We're quite familiar with that.
Do you put things in your hair?
Shit.
What do you put in?
I would never
put a hair mask?
I do hair masks a lot.
What do you put in your hair mask?
No, like two nights ago, I did, like, my hair mask was like before I went to bed after I, like, did a co wash of, like, washing it with just conditioner. I did, like, a ton of leave in and then argan oil and then a curl activator, and then you headband it. And
so you
then
want it more curly.
Yeah. Funny. Just like define it, like, okay.
But
like,
you're deadly serious about this. You're not
making a joke. No. And then you headband it, turban it, shower cap it, and then you just go to sleep and just pray to God you wake up in the morning with beautiful curls, and then you pick it out and live your life.
Well, I've never touched your hair because I would never dream of asking.
Yeah. Well, like, you've only touched my pubes, and, like, you got the texture on that, and I feel like that's enough because I take good care there, too.
Do you have to condition that down there, too?
I personally feel like it should be a whole body experience. I'm an old school French courtesan, okay? There's, like, potions and honey from Tim to toe.
You have a little merkin you put on down there?
Oh, even when I'm naked, there's honey on my nipples. We're just old school fans.
Paula Deen and an anonymous woman who is African American on her show, the Ladies Brunch Burger.
Okay.
And that is a burger. What Paula Deen did, she did a hamburger, but instead of using buns, she used donuts and put an egg and bacon on it.
My hole. I literally, oh, that sounds beautiful.
Have you ever had one?
I would bottom for that burger.
Oh my God, they are so delicious.
Oh my God.
We actually made them with Darian Lake for our episode of Cooking with Drag Queens with her, and they were delicious. At least one.
At least.
But she was in a hurry, though.
Okay.
She had to get going.
Okay, I wish she had
time. She would have had I think she had at least three of them. Okay. But there were, many
but
ones.
Yeah, I mean, because it's a donut. Like,
I'm just asking so I can paint a picture, not for any body-shaming reasons. None at all. None at all. I'd never do such a thing.
It's so delicious because you've got that savory of the meat, and then you have the sweetness of that donut, and it just goes together so well. The problem is it's almost like they're addicting. You have one, you want to have another, And I love donuts, but I always think about you know the movie Bridget Jones's Diary with Renee Zellweger. She had to get heavy for that role, and she goes, the only thing I did different is I just ate a bunch of donuts. So every time I eat a donut, I always think of Renee Zellweger getting chubby.
She's like, I'm gonna be fat and crying in a white robe at the bottom of the counter, just being like 5'2, 141 pounds. I hate myself.
So when we were researching and planning for that episode with Darian Lake, I tried to find the name of the anonymous woman who was in the episode. And
she was anonymous.
Well, was she somebody, she probably was announced in the episode. The episode guide hinted at her name and I lost track of it, but it's like, she just happened to be a friend of somebody who worked on the crew.
Okay.
Somebody in the neighborhood, in the community. And who genuinely was friends with Paula Deen.
Oh, awesome.
I don't know if she's still friends with her after
I hope not. I hope not.
I'm surprised, with Trump in office, that Paula Deen hasn't really had a big comeback, You'd think, the time
she would
have
waited two more years.
For people who are not familiar,
2 more years.
What happened with Paula Deen?
Paula Deen's business was accused of racism. So if you were black, you had to work in the back of the house. If you were white, you could work in the front of the house. Also, too, it was a hostile work environment for a bunch of the black people that worked there. Mm-hmm. I believe her son managed the restaurant. Maybe it was her husband. Mm-hmm. And so there was accusations of, being racist pigs. And so they brought her into court to testify about this, and they asked her if she had ever used the N-word, and she had said, yes, I had used it years ago when I was in a bank and somebody came in with a gun. She worked in a bank and somebody came in with a gun. And so she said that's the only time she's ever used it. And, people just, it was a combination of that and then the hostile work environment, and people were just like, enough's enough with this lady.
And I think, part of it is Paula Deen sensing what was going on, went and made her own apology video.
Mm-hmm.
And had she maybe have worked with other African-American voices or people, to sort of position this as I've learned from my past and I'm working to be a better person, I think would have been better, but she just doubled down.
I'm all right with seeing white ladies cry every now and then.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I was okay with her apology video. I got everything I wanted out of it. And I also...
But as a consequence, I think Paula Deen's career, certainly she was, thrown off the Food Network, her licensing deal with Walmart and the kitchen cookware, that was gone.
But don't you just love to see the, I'm so sorry for anyone I could have offended. And then they come up with the hand with the 5 acrylic nails on it to wipe away the one tear. Don't you just the theater of it all.
So before that all happened, Paula Deen went on the Jay Leno show to talk about her ladies' brunch burger.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, it came by accident, y'all. Let me tell you about the donut cheeseburger. I think it had an egg and some bacon on it, too. I can't remember. I was shooting my show, and the food stylist had everything ready here for me. And I had a big platter of donuts. Well, I went to put my burger together and picked up that bun, and it was harder than my arteries. And I felt the donuts, and it was soft. So I said, screw that hard bread. Let's use the donuts. And Michael was in the bedroom sleeping. I guess that's her husband. Because he works crazy hours. He's a corporate pilot. And I said, y'all, cut. And I ran up to the bedroom, and Michael had let Michael taste it. It was so good. And that was the first time I'd have ever made one of those, and I've not made one since. She says
that's a lie. She always says she's done everything once. She's only said the N-word once. She's only ever made that cheeseburger once. Bullshit. She does both all night long. Bullshit.
So Paula Deen claims that she unintentionally invented the donut cheeseburger. But this is the catch.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch the video, there's no cheese on that burger.
There's not?
There is no cheese on the burger.
So she's done it at least twice.
So she's thinking about what's known as the Luther Burger, a bacon cheeseburger served on a Krispy Kreme donut that was served at Mulligan's Pub in Decatur, Georgia, named after, of course, the late, great... he wasn't openly gay, right? He was outed after his death. Luther Vandross, or a fat cream... that was developed in 2003 by another restaurant. The donut burger went from a relatively obscure internet curiosity to a full-blown entity in 2006 when the Grizzly Burger was served at stadiums like the Gateway Grizzly, a Frontier League baseball team in Illinois.
I personally would love nothing more than for Krispy Kreme to fully introduce themselves to the meat market. Maybe find like a nice beef lobbyist. Maybe one from Argentina. Go real fucking local and authentic. And I want artisanal. That everywhere. No.
Like McDonald's, like when they had the Archer Deluxe.
Yes. Yeah, like go fancy, but like I want like a Krispy Kreme burger everywhere.
Did you remember like McDonald's for a while was like feeling, you know, and it always feels like McDonald's just like, is always clinging to staying relevant and staying in business. And they're always releasing some crazy product that just seems like out of left field, you know?
Okay. Where do you guys stand on the boy toy, girl toy debate? Do you think they should call it something else? What do you think?
Is that still a thing?
That's still a thing because like my sister and her husband have two small kids. Their daughter's three and then their son's going to be two in like a week. Mm-hmm. And he normally likes the girl toy. He just does.
As the kids, we never had distinctions at Burger King or McDonald's in Puerto Rico. So we just got, you know, juguete, un premio.
Okay.
It's actually, we didn't call it the toys. We call them the prize.
Okay. So that makes sense.
You know, do you have a prize? In fact, you didn't even have to buy anything. They would just give them to you.
Well, come to think of it, I never actually hear Latino people say juguete.
Yeah, we said, well, when we went to McDonald's or Burger King, we were like, do you have a premio? Do you have a premio for, you know?
Did they do boy-girl toy when you were, like, a child?
They didn't have Happy Meals.
They didn't do toys back then?
No. There was no McDonald's.
Okay.
There was a McDonald's, but I think they only had, like, a million burgers served at that point in time.
Okay. Okay.
Your age is in burgers sold by McDonald's.
Elizabeth Taylor hadn't gone by to eat there yet with that old joke. That old joke.
So, yeah, I mean, I think if you want to look at, like, viral moments in food videos, you know, certainly, like, Cooking with Drag Queens, what is the most popular video that we've ever made on that show?
Oh, which one's? I think the one with kimchi has got the most views because I think that has a lot of views from people in Korea.
Well, it could because they just Google almost on accident and then it's just like, oh, kimchi is like a walking art piece. She's just gorgeous.
Yeah, she's the new voice of some cosmetic line.
She's the new voice of cabbage.
Yeah, 469,000 views.
I kind of don't want it to get any more views, so that way the 69 doesn't go away.
Well, it just might.
It just might. For the success of your channel.
To compare, Bob the Drag Queen is 177,000 views.
Kimchi really is that bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Really,
she
is.
She really, you know, part of the charm of it is that Kimchi was really excited about the project. It came at a time just before she got cast on Drag Race. And she, I don't know, part of it was like, part of me thinks that she was really into it because we could drive her to the Korean grocery store and buy stuff. And then we would feed her.
She does like to eat.
Because those pre-Drag Race days, like, you ain't got no goddamn money. Like, a free meal anywhere as a performance artist in your 20s is a free fucking meal.
Well, and one thing we're going to be doing soon, we're launching a Patreon page and put a lot of the footage of Cooking with Drag Queens that never made it onto the show, where you can see Kimchi's... very humble refrigerator.
Can you call that uncooked instead of untucked? Can you please call the segment uncooked?
Uncooked.
Yeah, for your Patreon.
Raw.
Yeah, because that's always the preference.
Cooking with Drag Queens raw.
Yes, yes.
Well, that's the thing. It's the raw footage that we've shot with these drag queens, especially the ones who sort of went on to have amazing careers, is really really entertaining. And, you know, you can see Mark and I arguing about a question.
Which I am always into. Everyone loves to see, like, a long-term couple fight because there's no consequence to it.
There really isn't. I mean, part of it is that
there's not.
I typically don't think so. I think when long-term couples like just squabble over stupidity, mm-hmm. it's just like a communication style after a while, mm-hmm. and so it's just like fun to enjoy.
Well, we don't fight too much.
No,
we
really don't.
I mean, I've only seen Mark spit out a tooth once, and like you know, you don't hit him that hard. You don't.
I kill him with kindness.
You're a good boyfriend.
Let's talk about ASMR. So this is a phenomenon of videos on the internet where people. People whisper very quietly.
Well, they can whisper. They do relaxing hand movements. They'll smack their lips.
They'll tap their acrylic nails together in case you miss, like, your old aunt. Mm-hmm.
And the they'll goal brush of it, their hair.
Oh, yeah.
The goal of these videos is to relax people, to soothe them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so what ASMR stands for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. And so people say that they get, like, a tingling from it in, like, the back of their head and their spine, and it kind of goes throughout their body. So it's some kind of, like, you know, a sensory experience.
How deep are your headphones in? Like, what the fuck? What's tingling.
Mm-hmm. Well, the weird thing is, for whatever reason, they find it comforting and the tingling, and they really like it, and it's a lot of people listen to it before they go to bed.
Yeah. That reeks of loneliness to me.
And one of the rising stars in this is Spirit Peyton, who's 47 years old. She's African American.
She's a grown woman.
And she had some hard times, and then discovered this thing kind of for herself. She wanted to use it to heal. And then people really, really responded to it, because with her ASMR, she's like really wants to put like healing energy out there into the world, not only for herself, but for other people. And people have really responded to it. And I think also too is because, you know, she's got some drag queen highlighter going on there too.
Yes.
With her cheeks and her nose and stuff like that. I'm just kind of like, because she's got the little white dot on the end of her nose.
Just for no reason. Just like right here. Just like a hey.
It gives a little definition to it.
It's
an
exclamation point.
And so people really enjoy looking at her because she's, you know, made up. And she's got those nails, and she's just, you know, her most popular video is she's just chomping on pickles. And there's that crunching sound just really just.
And those big red lips going together.
And people are into it.
And that's sort of gave us the inspiration for our upcoming Cooking with Drag Queens episode with T.S. Madison, who returns, where we're eating pickles with candy canes stuck in the middle.
Ooh.
Peppermint candy canes. And I don't know if I was inspired by that. I'd seen it.
Well, certainly what was on people's minds.
I saw an art, because I'm not sure when that video came up, but I saw somebody on the south side of Chicago, and they were talking about, like, the people, like, the weird food in Chicago, and one of them is there's a store on the south side of Chicago, and you can go get a pickle, and then they stick a peppermint candy in the middle of it. I'm like, this is so weird. And then we had T.S. Madison coming back, and I was just like, I really would like to see her go down on a pickle.
You're not alone in that. You're not. Many men have felt that for her.
And so...
you give the people what they want.
She was weirded out by it, but she was into it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And she'd kind of heard about it before, too. She's like, this sounds familiar. I know somebody who does this. And it's weird because it's salty, it's sour, it's sweet, and it's minty. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people also take, like, pickles and, like, make, like, Kool-Aid pickles or Jolly Rancher pickles. So it's
How's a Kool-Aid pickle made? They just open
Kool-Aid
the
and you throw
packet?
It in? Yeah. And you throw it in.
Is it sweet?
It is like, it tastes like whatever flavor Kool-Aid you want.
And so you, instead of a green pickle, it's like a red pickle or...
I'm not sure how much, like, it changes the color to some degree, but I'm not sure how much.
I don't know. A lot of people do really weird food combinations. Mm-hmm. A lot of people. Like, in my family, we always do like peanut butter and jelly with a chili.
Chili powder?
No. Like chili, like if you do like chili soup, like that's always a peanut butter and jelly sandwich goes with that. And some people will dip. Some people will dip.
Ooh.
Doesn't sound bad to me at all.
I always put ketchup on my lima beans.
What?
Yeah, I always put ketchup on my lima beans. I'm country as shit for that. And I put like mustard on a sausage.
Oh, that's typical. That's how I like it. Like if I have a hot dog, often it's just like I have a hot dog with mustard, and that's pretty much it.
Do you guys have something unusual for Thanksgiving that you eat or Like a traditional dish that everyone goes, what are you serving?
Well, I like those Jell-O molds. With
I was going to say dessert, like too, because this I haven't had this in years, but back when my grandmother was alive, she would always make this horrific pistachio pudding, this Jell-O green pistachio pudding, and it was just always just atrocious, and she's the only one who wanted it, but it was at every fucking holiday, just a big glob of just green avocado-looking mush.
For one Thanksgiving, Mark insisted on doing his cranberry tangerine Jell-O mold.
And I did in the bundt pan.
Oh, okay.
And so when it came out of the thing, because, you know, it's a bundt pan, mm-hmm. and it had cranberries in it, mm-hmm. it basically looked like an anus with hemorrhoids.
Which you are very familiar with. You squatted on a mirror once or twice. You know what the future holds.
T.S. Madison says that she was inspired to doing her cooking series from her appearance on Cooking with Drag Queens. And to this day, one of the most watched streaming cooking videos is T.S. Madison standing in front of a hot fryer, opening up lots of bottles and screaming, "Come on, Grease! Come on, Grease!"
Well, what's great about her, too, is like when you watch her cooking videos, she'll sometimes invite friends over, and oftentimes they're shirtless, well-built black guys.
Which is just good to keep around in the back. I also live by that lifestyle, and I think it's a good choice. It's a good choice. I sponsor it. Sponsor it.
Honey, because if you come into my house, we're not going to be cooking.
Exactly. You
have we'll to have be cooking, but not in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Have you ever had sex in the kitchen?
Have I ever had sex? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You got to.
You know, to me, I'm just like, there's food on the floor. My feet get cold.
There's food on the floor.
Okay. You know, the kitchen.
Foster
took one of those BDMS tests and he came back like 95% vanilla. And he's all mad because he doesn't recognize kinks. I'm just like, you're about as vanilla as they come.
Some people are just not super adventurous, and that's all right.
I'm not a very adventurous person. I'm very sexual and stuff. And the thing about it is those that quiz is all about like a very narrow definition of what fetish or
bondage,
kink play is.
Yeah. It's bondage, you know, sadomasochism, bondage.
And you're not trying to get tied up. That's just not your vibe.
I don't, you know, my dad beat up my brother with a belt, you know? I want to see that.
I can kind of vibe with that. I don't really want to get tied up or like sequestered or like Gerald's Game, and then I'm out in the woods in the cabin for 4 months. Like, I don't want that.
Who was it?
Never saw that one on Netflix? It's a Stephen King book. This woman is like, her husband's a doctor, and they go out into this cabin to like revive their marriage and have a weekend together. And so like he ties her to the bed or whatever, like to have some hot kinky sex. And then he has a heart attack, and she's just out in the fucking woods tied to the bed for like a week.
Oh, I think I did see that.
Yeah, it's all fucked up.
That you who said on this podcast early on that it's a certain white privilege of inviting a guy over to your house to come in the middle of the night without knocking on the door?
I don't know that I said that, but I could have. It sounds like something that would have come out of my mouth.
Because Mark...
Because white people don't have to do too much announcing. It's just like, oh, welcome. Like, well, how are you?
One time you hooked up with a guy who told you just to come into his apartment.
Come into his apartment, come into his bedroom.
Oh, yeah.
And he'd be there.
Yeah.
And so I went into the apartment. He's just like, take your clothes off and just leave it there and then come into the bedroom. But I came in and it was dark and everything was like filthy and gross. And I saw the TV on, so I went over there and I saw somebody on the couch. And I looked at him, I'm like, that's not the dude. And I'm like, that's weird. So I'm like, let me just go into the bedroom and just make sure what's going on. And so I go down the hallway and I had to literally like step over stuff to get down the hallway. And then I go and there's somebody in bed watching TV and I look and it's like, that's not the guy either. I'm like, I think I'm in the wrong apartment. And he's just like, yeah, I think you are. And so I was just like, that's weird. So I left and then I checked my text messages. I was like, oh, I got the wrong apartment. But I could have been killed.
Were you on the right block?
I was on the right floor.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. That happens. No, I don't know. That's like kind of a who has their doors fucking unlocked in Chicago like that.
I know.
That's my real question.
I don't feel necessarily comfortable. And like if somebody ever asked me to come to their house and, you know, just walk in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know this person. It could get violent and crazy real fast.
Oh, no, I'm crazy. I've gone fuck people in houses they were trying to finish building. I'm like, I don't know. I'll go meet you in a hotel, in a well, under a tree. You're with me. I don't know what it is.
So one of my favorite all-time cooking personalities, internet personalities, is Felicia Odell, best known as...
Auntie Fee.
Auntie Fee. So she
rest
was,
in peace.
Rest in peace. She just passed away in October
last year.
She had the lupus.
I'm sorry, in March of 2017, yeah. Mm. So, now, Auntie Fee, she is from south side of L.A., and as a young woman, she was arrested for allegedly selling drugs out of her home, and spent 10 years out of a 20-year prison sentence, and came out, and, you know, she had a family, she had children. And, she didn't know what to do with her life. And so her son, one day started filming her, how to feed 7 people with $3.35.
That's a budget.
That is a good budget. And basically her son, Tavis, you know, Tavis Hunter, he was the guy.
With the flavor.
Tavis. He was, basically filming her, you know, doing the food that she was just doing to serve the family. And it was a huge sensation. And it was very lucrative for her, actually. And
she got
and
on the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
Yeah. So she became a very successful internet personality and, for a time moved into a much better house. And, and you could see her, you know, production value sort of improve. But what I really loved about Auntie Fee is just that she kept it all in real time, single camera.
No editing.
And it was her son, Tavis. And just her wits and her humor and her passion for food carrying the show.
Put some Lowry's on it. Swish it around the sink. Put it in the pan. It got its own water. Just let it bake. Like, I feel like Mike Tyson would have given about as equally detailed cooking instructions. And I'm into it. I'm into
it.
She
was so angry sometimes.
I know, right? She wanted to beat everyone's ass, but, like, feed them and then watch them be happy.
Like, so, at the height of her career, she had Snoop Dogg, TMZ, Harvey Levin, Sherry Shepherd.
Yes.
Doing videos with her. She made guest appearances on Barbershop 3 and The Real Husbands of Hollywood. And the Steve Harvey Show.
I hope she pulled on a blunt with Snoop Dogg. I hope she did.
She probably did.
Pretty sure. She was actually in recovery, so she might not have. So
a lot of people use weed when they're recovering from whatever they're recovering from.
And, you know, it was really heartbreaking for me because I feel like Auntie Fee really inspired us to sort of push further with Cooking with Drag Queens and... and
reduce your grocery bill down to $40 a month.
And give better directions to the camera people. We're just like, get this, film this. Are you getting this?
Get up over my shoulder. Look down the sink. Not at me. Why are you looking at me, motherfucker? Oh, I miss her and her rage.
Yeah, you know, and it's like with this holiday season, with Thanksgiving just around the corner, it's like, you know, people are going to be, there's inevitably going to be more great moments in African-American viral food videos.
Yeah.
Part of it is just, you know, like, one great thing about Black culture is that Black people love family and they love to eat and love to get together. And
I don't know if that's specific, though.
What? You don't agree with that?
Or? I think everybody likes that.
But I think, you know, in terms of, like, I would say, like, for example, Puerto Rican culture, we celebrate Christmas more than anyone else on the planet. To the point that Americans are like, you drank the Kool-Aid. And, you know, for a lot of my Black friends, it's actually, like, you know, preparing food and getting together
the
with friends
and family. The food is the focus of
the
holiday.
Yeah.
The food and the people are the focus of the holiday.
It's a really important thing. And it's like, and I think that's something to be celebrated and to be admired and loved and celebrate and cherished, you know. And, it, you know, I do think that there is, to some degree, an ugly side to all these viral food videos is that there's people out there on the internet who are looking down upon.
Yeah.
You know, anyone who's sort of breaking the mold or being unusual or funny or, you know, or just loving food a little too much.
And then there's also, like, you know, that, like, Aunt Jemima, Uncle Ben, like, those are, like, controlling images of Black people. Like, that's just, like, oh, you have, like, a comfortable idea of them that's, like, not a threatening thing.
But the thing I like about the internet culture in some ways is that even though, you know, and by putting it on the internet, we sort of lose our agency to own the footage that we're putting up there. But at the same time, you know, Auntie Fee certainly benefited significantly from being a viral sensation.
And also, it was just her and her kids. So, like, they put it out the way they were comfortable with. And, like, she was happy with that representation of herself. That's who she was. That's cool. So, like, however you want to look at it, that says more about who you are and not about her. Because, like, she's doing her thing.
What advice would you give to, you know, people who are making videos or viral food videos or you know, black video bloggers in the future, just to, you know, not feel like their voice or their agency has been taken away from them.
Well, as someone who's eaten everything at 7-Eleven, I feel very qualified to make that
Miss
statement.
Miss Taquito, literally 2016.
Everything that comes off the roller, I've had every season. And
If it fits on a roller, you'll eat it.
Oh, sure. Or sure. I'll put it anywhere.
If it's dog-shaped.
Sure. Just put a condom on it, whatever it takes. And, no, I just really think the, like, important thing to, like, always do if you're doing, like, video shit or, like, you're doing anything that's, like, short time frame as an artist, you have to make sure that who you are and what you're really, like, what you have to offer comes out in it, because that's the only thing that's ever going to make you different. And if you just give people what you think other people are going to think is funny or, like, what they want, they're going to, like, pick it up and throw it away. But if you give them something interesting that stands out, if you're just, like, your weird special self, that, I don't know, I just think that grips more.
And, you know, it's like even our video with Kim Chi, you know, has half a million views.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't even enough to cover the grocery bill.
No.
To make that video. So part of it is like you really want to do these things because you love it, mm-hmm. not because you think it's going to be a smart, wise career move.
Anyone who gets into show business for money is a Momo. Complete Momo. Complete Momo.
What's Momo?
Moron. A Momo. Because there is no money in anything for a really, really long time.
Sure.
There is money eventually.
If there ever is.
Yeah, if there ever is. But for a long time, there isn't. And I feel like comedians are some of the only people in show business who are honest about that. Because, like, every now and then I'll see Kathy Griffin go off on her Twitter being like, I think I made $15,000 the entire 20 years I did stand-up and acting before I finally got on TV. Like, you have to tell the truth. We're broke for a long time.
Well,
We're broke for a long time.
Before my life on the D-list, my friend was booking Milwaukee Pride Fest.
Yeah.
And they were going to... They paid Kathy Griffin $250 to perform.
Absolutely.
And so this is like a year or two before my life on the D-list. And then after that, it's just like, mm-hmm. you know, she acted like this whole Donald Trump thing was going to kill her career, but it has done anything but.
I don't know about all that.
She's got sold out shows.
Yeah, she absolutely was.
And that's touring. Touring
is
one of
those, right? But I paid attention to interviews with her because of what her PR was after the Trump thing. Her fee was reduced by 80%.
Oh, wow.
Before the Trump incident happened, she's getting 150 flat and then like a private plane. And then after this, it's like 25.
We can see why a lot of entertainers and artists hesitate to talk about politics. And, you know, someone like Taylor Swift, whose career could tank the same way.
Oh,
by her encouraging her fans to get politically active. She had a really positive impact on the last election. And, you know, she also sacrificed a lot of potential revenue because of it.
Well, I don't know. She's just the pinnacle of mediocrity. I just can't take anything she ever says or does seriously.
If it wasn't for Taylor Swift, artists would make even less from streaming music. Mm-hmm. She has been very instrumental in helping to lift wages of artists up.
Because there's such a big difference between $200 million and $250 million. Mm. I just really think, you know, she's earned it and deserves it. I don't know. I just don't like it when people who have figurative sums of money need to hoard it. Like, you're the reason that the economy's tanking and why they're like children who can't eat. Because you need $280 million.
Well, as Chris Rock said, if Bill Gates woke up with Oprah Winfrey's money, he'd kill himself.
Exactly.
And I would think, like, Taylor Swift having $250 million in the bank is not... It is really, like, it's chump change when you look at what Warren Buffett or, you know, the Koch brothers have in their bank account, you know, the anonymous, evil, motherfucking, horrible.
Hiding around the corner,
you know, billionaire class that we don't even know who's like trying to pull the strings.
Walmart probably buys all of our elections. Like, what are we talking about here? What are we talking about here?
One Thanksgiving, you and your family went to visit the President Lincoln's home.
No. We just no. Oh, no. You got it sideways, baby. Yeah. No, we almost died on Thanksgiving in Lincoln's hometown.
Okay.
In Lincoln's hometown, because that's where I'm from.
You almost from died on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'm from Springfield, Illinois.
Which is our capital.
Of
Illinois.
For the people in Chicago who would have forgotten.
It's downstate. Yeah. Well, you know, people throughout the world, they need to know. So it's our government headquarters, but it's a small town. And it's, you know, surrounded by farmland, basically.
And what we were doing, because the way my family liked to do Thanksgiving was because most of my family was either hospital people or state people. So like your holidays were interesting. We would do cooking like on Wednesday before and on Thursday, like split it up, my mm-hmm. aunt and my grandma. And so we were cooking all at my grandma's house. And then we were taking half the food over to my aunt's place for storage. And then we were all like a couple of us were going to stay at my aunt's place. And so we were driving across town. And she lived more out by the airport, which is like closer rural, obviously. And so the roads weren't as cleared as well. And so we were all in like her giant, she had a fucking Mountaineer. This was like 2004. I was like six. So this is like a big old black Mountaineer. Just like, oh, this is like.
So you were seven when Faust and I started podcasting.
Yes, yes. I was in a vial.
You're the first test tube baby guest that we've had.
I'm so happy to be here and like not attached to an umbilical cord.
You lift up your shirt, you had no belly button.
Nothing's happening.
Oh, you have a little hair down there.
I know, right? You know where to find it. And
you're a big boy now.
A big boy. And it was like me, my aunt, my cousin, my aunt's boyfriend, and we were all in this giant ass SUV, and we drove over. We just thought it was like a little bit of snow on the road. A power line had fallen over and had gotten ice and snow frozen over it. Yeah. And we drove over the power line and our car got electrocuted. We were all fucking
what?
Absolutely.
You were electrocuted inside a car?
Because it went through the car wheels and stuff?
I guess I went through the fucking rubber because we were all bzzz, and then we like drove off of it. I don't know how we didn't go into someone's house. I have no idea how we didn't go into someone's house, but we were all like, it was wild driving over that power line. It was fucking insane.
So it just happened really fast.
Yeah, it happened fast, but like I remember seeing like fucking blue and green pop up out like sparks and shit. Like it was insanity.
Wow, you guys could have really died.
I wish. It would
have. But you wouldn't be around to, you know,
I tell know, this but amazing like, story. Imagine how long and romantic that obituary would have been for like a little 7-year-old Mex boy. Oh. Like, oh, it would have been like front page. Like, come on, I'd be more famous than now. come on. Even if you work really, really hard as a comedian, that's nothing like dying at 7 and it's not your fault. That's nothing like pulling a JonBenet. That's nothing.
I was thinking more Ryan White, but, you know, it's like kids who died, celebrity kids.
It's got to be AIDS.
So celebrity kids who died, you know, I think they would all want to be alive today. You know, they're
not. I think JonBenet would be doing meth and smoking Newports. I think that's what would be happening. She'd be judging beauty contests or like serving brunch at them.
Are you still performing throughout Thanksgiving?
No, actually, I am going to be going home. Well, to go see family for like Thursday to Saturday. So nice. But I have shows before and after. So I'm always around. I'm always available.
Yeah, let's eat some Patti LaBelle pies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Mark and I actually, because we couldn't get any Patti LaBelle pies, we found the recipe and we made it.
How did it taste?
It was good. The only thing that I didn't like about her recipe is that she wanted you to bake the shell first, the pie shell first. Mm-hmm. And so you can kind of like the edges get kind of brown.
Okay, you know? You're not tradition. Into the crunch.
So this is the thing. It's called a blackened pie crust.
Which, it's got to be black, right?
And
but that is what color it is by the end.
And it's a regular pie crust that she puts sometimes like brown sugar or something to caramelize
have
it.
Have to.
And I feel like it just makes the pie crust too crispy and too...
If I were to do it again, I would put like a little aluminum foil collar around the edge.
Okay. And just then to save that. Yeah,
to save that so it wouldn't get as brown.
I just like I'm old school. I'm from Southern Illinois and like I want an old school pie crust made out of fucking lard.
Those
like,
are good.
But the interesting thing is like the times I've actually seen Patti LaBelle's pies, they don't have that technique. So Patti LaBelle has a recipe where she has it cooked one way, but when she sells it at Walmart, I think it's kind of like
because it comes in one
piece.
It's
the mainstream version.
Yeah.
So the mainstream version doesn't have the browned, blackened pie crusts.
So the mainstream version's not really what she wants you to have, but like it costs $3, so quit bitching. Like she probably gets 75 cents a pie.
Maybe not even.
There are three versions of the same dessert, and a lot of them have African American ties. Of course, you know, everybody knows pumpkin pie, and that's what mostly gets eaten at Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. But I would argue, actually, sweet potato pie is just as delicious, if not more delicious, and is more nutritious, higher in fiber and higher in nutrients. But the king of all those dessert pies is a bean pie, which used to be sold by people raising funds for the church. The Islamic temple, yeah.
Like Farrakhan.
Oh, yeah. Back in the 70s when we thought we were going to revolt and get reparations or something. I don't know who thought that was going to work.
It was bow ties and bean pies.
Oh, yeah.
They'd go around and sell those bean pies. But I would imagine, you know, I've had a bean pie, but I don't remember. God, is it going to make you fart?
I would hope. Because how else are you going to get your family out of your house? It's time to go. Go fucking see the movies that are opening today and get out of my home.
Yeah, actually, I think the bean pie is the most delicious, and it's the highest in protein.
That's fabulous. I love how we went from, like, protein to, like, Louis Farrakhan and Nation Islam. I love how we could make that connection.
Well, they're famous for selling their pies here in Chicago.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I
haven't lived here long enough for that.
You cannot talk about black culture and food and not talk about Louis Farrakhan and those pies.
I just always kind of tweak out over, like, always that, because it's always like, who, Nation of Islam, wait, who colonized Africa before Europe? Them, like, yes. 600 through 800. Who taught
Louis Farrakhan? Who is the answer to all the
questions? Swahili is an Arab language.
It's an Arab slave language, exactly. Like, who taught European people how to colonize? They got the plan from Arab people. Like, that's who's doing it first. Like, I don't know. Who's selling you first, fam? Keep your third eye all the way open. Like, woo-hoo. Like,
well, and Thanksgiving, I guess, was sort of something that was popularized. We think of it, you know, I think we were taught as kids, you know, the pilgrims and the Indians got together.
And they were best friends and nobody died.
And nobody died.
Nobody got shot in the head.
Smallpox. Yeah. Nobody got diphtheria or any of those other things.
But actually, Abraham Lincoln pushed for Thanksgiving as a way to unite families together who were divided because of the Civil War. After the Civil War.
Do you know how... Okay, because you always do a war to try to unite your country. So that doesn't work. And so then you pull out a let's all hold hands. Fuck. If the guns didn't work, let's do a holiday.
Well, you know, certainly the Civil War was, you know, regardless of what you may been taught, it was a war to end slavery.
It was a war about states' rights. I don't know what you're talking about. I would have been folding napkins inside. I wouldn't have been too mad.
And, you know...
You know what it is. Me and Mariah Carey...
And I would say, like, you know, and if we look at Thanksgiving as a way to sort of, like, honor the lives lost in this very, you know, heartbreaking war that we had, and, you know, and the fact that, you know, it's like we ended slavery, but, you know, a lot of people still struggled and suffered, you know, that's why I celebrate Juneteenth. And if you don't know what Juneteenth is, Google it.
Yeah, go celebrate it. Go to Texas and celebrate you some Juneteenth.
So Juneteenth, for the quick answer is, even though slavery was made illegal in the United States, a lot of people didn't get the news.
Yeah, because, you see, they didn't have no Twitter. There was no... The president couldn't send you a text. It wasn't one of those things. And so, like, there were slaves for, like, an extra year and a half, just working for free, cutting down sugar cane for, like, no goddamn reason. And...
So Juneteenth celebrates when the news hit
when they find
South.
Out. Yeah. Yeah, when they find out.
And, you know, I think we're still certainly, you know, a nation that's struggling with that ugly legacy. And I think we, in order to, you know, heal, we need to remember.
Exactly.
And educate.
Because the thought patterns that created all that shit have never been, like, extricated from society. They're sort of changed form and shape. So you've got to talk about it, recognize it, and be the change you want to see.
And have a slice of Patti LaBelle's pie.
Yeah.
Or make your own pie.
Exactly.
It's fun to make pie.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of fucking work.
It's so easy.
You make the crust. You let the crust set for an hour, like, chill. And then
you don't even have to make the crust. Go buy it at the grocery store.
I'm going to get, like, six apple pies from McDonald's and just, like, put them together. That's, like, as good as you're getting out of me.
And some Cool Whip on top.
Oh, sure. If you're lucky. I'd have to go to a Walmart. That's two stops. You're asking a lot out of me.
You strike me as a person who, on a, you know, lonely Saturday night, you open up a tub of Cool Whip and watch, like, reruns of The Golden Girls.
My grandmother used to fucking eat diet Cool Whip, like, and put it in the freezer and, like, eat it with,
like,
a spoon.
Ice cream.
Yeah, because it's, like, no calories and you can pretend you're not sad. You can pretend it's really ice cream. It's great. I don't do that shit. I want the real ice cream. Let me get the diabetes.
Do you have any food that you guys are looking forward to eating or making for the holidays?
Brussels sprouts.
I know that I'm going to be. You're excited about Brussels sprouts. That's what's got you going. You. Okay, yeah, no, fuck Brussels sprouts. No, I don't even know what's
mashed potatoes.
I just know that, like, I'm going with my sister and her husband, and her husband throws it down in the kitchen. So I just know he's going to do something really, really weird and really, really exciting. I just don't know what it's going to be because, well, like, it's never traditional. So, like, I'm excited for whatever happens. My traditional thing that I always, always, always love, I can eat, like, 8 plates of stuffing. I'm garbage. I don't know why. It's just, like, carbs
and
death.
Do you put sausage and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you got to meet in there.
Okay.
Have to.
I like it.
Mark's looking at me like, see? So I love making, stuffing with cornbread. But we just never put any sausage in it.
Okay.
One year, Mark's like, we got to put sausage in it. We got to put sausage. It's nice to put the sausage in it. But I feel like because everything else is so meaty,
I just feel like all stuffing's better with sausage.
I like having the stuffing not be so heavy or greasy. Okay. And I feel like the sausage kind of makes it weighed down. I think of the stuffing almost as a bready, hot baked salad.
Okay, but like when you're doing stuffing in other parts of your life, is it complete without sausage?
Well,
If you're eating stuffing by itself, yeah, absolutely put the sausage in there. But I feel like as a side dish for Thanksgiving, I like to have it on the side. I like to put cranberries, apples,
you want like a whole
almonds.
Cranberry?
No, I like to have the you know, sliced dried cranberries.
Okay.
In there.
Okay. Because I'm all about when you take the top off the jar and it just comes out in the shape of the jar. That kind of cranberry sauce. We'll go there.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big fan of the not the Ocean Spray because they use high fructose corn syrup.
And you want to live to be 90.
I like the just plain sugar, pectin, and cranberries in a homogenous cylinder.
Nice.
Slice it nice and thick. And you know, actually, a grandma's Thanksgiving sandwich. Have you ever had that?
No, what's in it?
It's just a turkey sandwich with stuffing and cranberry sauce.
Okay, stuffing on bread. That's what's experience.
Oh, that's good. You do like a little wrap, a tortilla wrap, with some turkey, some, you know, stuffing.
You could throw
potato.
Like some avocado in there.
You could.
If you wanted to.
If you wanted
beans,
to get fancy.
Beans, greens, potatoes,
tomatoes, lamb, ram, hog, rabbits, chicken, turkey, biscuits, gravy, whatever the fuck.
You name it, baby.
You name it.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of generous support of fabulous people like you. Go to feastoffun.com/plus and listen to our past episodes of Thanksgiving Magic and Fun. And, of course, support Cooking with Drag Queens by going to feastoffun.com/donate.
And don't forget to visit our store, feastoffun.com/store. Get yourself a t-shirt today or a mug.
And can you say it one more time? Because it's
feastoffun.com/store.
There you go.
There you go.
That's actually how most websites, good websites, work. You know, like if you need something, you go something.com/support.
About. Yeah, you don't even have to click or think about it. You should just like, there are some things that are standard.
But it drives me crazy. If I haven't seen an artist and I want to know about them, and I go to like, you know, MariahCarey.com/about. I better fucking know about Mariah Carey there.
Okay, but also, you know, what is going to be in the about section of her website that you don't already know?
I want to know all sorts of dirt.
Okay, and you think she's going
to
tell you?
To Nick Cannon. What happened?
Those 8 years she was on Xanax and just didn't want to talk about. Her eyes were crossed and she just needed people to walk her from one end of the room to the other.
Aww. Why'd you sing that Christmas song weird that one day?
She was so smart. She was so smart to do like a Christmas album as like her third CD. Like you do the Christmas album when you can still sing.
Yeah,
for smart, sure. Smart.
All I want for Christmas is you.
And she like wrote all that shit, which is like,
so she's made coin.
Yeah, that's why she's got like the crazy rock star money, because she wrote everything.
I won't get.
And I don't even like her. I don't even like her, but she's smart.
You don't like Mariah?
No, never.
What
did.
Is it about her you don't like?
I don't like. I just her whole vibe, her just entire energy. I don't feel like she wants to be liked. I feel like she wants to be like, she wants to buy the ticket and go to the concert, but I don't feel like she's ever wanted to be anyone's friend. She just seems like a distant bitch since like the fourth grade. Like,
you know,
I'm just going to twirl my ponytail and let you look at me. I really feel like that's her whole vibe.
I don't know her.
Who is she talking about when she said that I don't know her?
What was the situation? Was
I know Whitney said that about Mariah,
and then I think the Bravo executive tried to steal Kathy Griffin's New Year's Eve job.
Yes,
he tried to be like Andy Cohen.
Yeah,
I don't like saying his name.
Yeah, me either.
I'm not a fan of his. I mean, I respect him.
They say he sucked.
He sucked at that. It's not going to happen again.
No, I feel like he's got two lazy eyes and no work ethic. I just, that's my feelings about Andy Cohen.
He strikes me as somebody who's an opportunist.
I've never known another TV executive to give themselves a talk show that keeps getting renewed every year. Like, I find that interesting. I just find that fascinating.
You know, some people love the show.
Well, maybe Merv Griffin. Maybe Merv.
Ooh.
He's probably the only other one ever.
Merv's dead.
I know, right? I know, right?
Merv Griffin gave a young Whitney Houston her first chance to sing.
Oh, yeah.
On television.
Oh, yeah. After that, it was all smooth sailing.
And she sang, do you know what she sang on
the show? Oh, she sang a lot of music. She sang with her mom. She sang Home from The Wiz.
I think of a place.
With her natural hair, and her mom was directing the band behind the curtain.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Because she's like, you're playing too slow.
Sissy Houston. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Sissy was out her mind.
You saw that documentary.
Yes. Girl. And she was like, there are three places to learn from the sing. The stomach, the chest, and the heart. My baby learned them all. Like, she's just not making any sense and just rambling. And I'm like, you go.
Just like this podcast.
Yeah, you go, baby.
I just, you know, I had to quit drugs after saying that.
For a week.
Crack is whack. I was like, damn. You know, but we used to have a friend of ours, Ronnie, she used to say, I wish I could fuck with Whitney Houston on crack.
Oh, doesn't
anybody? You'd have been fun.
She would have been so much fun, but I feel like she also was who immediately, like right after the second bump, she's just mad at everybody and yelling and throwing shit. I really feel like it just went straight to rage.
You're not working my pussy. Like, you're not hitting my spot. Working harder.
Well,
working
harder. Her mom used to throw shit at each other, like vases. Yeah. And like, yeah, because she had like a big scar in her cheek from like, he like threw a plate at her once.
What?
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
they were both,
I didn't want to know that.
They were both cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs at each other. It was a whole vibe. I don't know.
Crazy in love.
Yeah.
Like Beyonce. So.
I don't. To me, I always felt like Whitney and Bobby had a relationship. It was more of like a gay relationship. Because like lesbians and gay men beat the shit out of each other. Just like I've noticed that in my life.
Are you saying that Bobby Brown might be in the closet too?
I don't think he's gay. I think they both interacted with like the pow-pow like lesbians do.
Oh.
I really.
Well, certainly Whitney had a very strong affection for her friend.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. I just don't know. I just feel like they were all beating each other's ass. And that's just like a, that's our territory.
Listen, Thanksgiving's coming, and you're going to have family and relatives that are get on your nerves.
Yeah.
You're going to have to just travel, and it's going to be annoying.
Breathe. It will be over.
This or
be
cuss them out.
Don't resort to violence.
Don't cuss anybody out till you have your to-go plate ready with aluminum foil over it. Then you can be like, listen. They'd be like, listen here, Grandpa. Fuck you and your second wife. I don't care. Mm. She's the only immigrant you like. Fuck you.
Trump sucks.
Trump sucks. So does the stuffing. Mm. I don't know why I'm eating more.
You almost knocked me out of my chair. Yeah, make sure you get your pie to go.
Oh, yes.
And it's
oh,
a go container, please.
Mm-hmm. Well, some nice styrofoam from Baker Square.
No, it has to be a clear to-go container. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we.
When
like
I worked at Michael Jordan's restaurant, and mm-hmm. I would serve dessert mm-hmm. to African-American customers. Sometimes they would be surprised that it came on a plate and not in a to-go box.
Really?
And I was just like, somebody had to explain it to me. It's like, I guess in soul food restaurants,
yeah.
I mean, when you go and you order and like they give you dessert, it always comes in like in a to-go container.
Yeah.
I always thought to myself, I was like, why are they always wanting to take the dessert home? Like, do they have like grandma living up in the attic somewhere? Like,
because it's nice to have your dessert a little bit later.
Well, it comes in a to-go container because like you can leave if you want to. Like, if it's busy, like they can clear your ass out.
Mm.
It's one of those things because mm-hmm. like efficacy.
Right.
Let's keep this table open.
You know, when Mark comes home from his job with cookies or cake and stuff, mm-hmm. I'm very happy.
Oh, yeah. I'm all about free dessert. You know, please.
You're too much woman for one man to take. I love you like a fat boy love cake.
Fat bottom girls make this rock and world go round.
That's right.
They do. They do. We love a thick bitch.
Matt Brown. You got it going down.
Someone better go down on me. Someone.
You have a boyfriend, don't you?
I got several. Several. Yeah, we like to keep a rotation.
Well, good. You're 20. You should be playing the field.
I'm playing a game.
Yeah.
I'm doing something.
You're playing Twister.
With your dick.
Pretty much.
Spin around and whatever lands on, you have to sit on it.
Where are you performing at these days?
Where am I performing at these days? After Thanksgiving on November 30th, I'm going to be performing at the Annoyance Theater doing opening for Baby Wine. And then on...
All right. That sounds really good.
Yeah. That's
what
just
night
a ton
is that?
Of fun. That's always a Friday night. So you can go drink there at Annoyance Bar. Come and enjoy the show. And then in December, I've got some fun stuff going on. On December 11th, I'm going to be doing a really, really fun show with my friend Merritt Landsteiner headlining. And the address for the venue is 1551 West Homer Street. It's really, really fun. We're going to have it's all queer performers. So, like, it's a lot of fun.
Incredibly Strange Christmas Music, Volume 9?
Yes.
or some really high number. So it's our end of the year episode. Incredibly strange, obscure, strange, weird holiday music that you think deserves a second listen. Please send us your recommendations. Mail at feastoffun.com or Facebook or Twitter. Message me. If you have that actual track that we can play, because a lot of these things are out of print. Or rare or unheard of.
Please send it, yeah.
Please send it to us. If you have something you composed, let us know.
But we do not want to hear your mixtape. We still don't. No.
But yeah, so, you know, this year, every year I think this is going to be the end of it. And somebody sends me something and it's like,
okay, we'll do it one more time.
One
is this number nine or 10?
It's really like, it's getting to the point that we just have to stop counting them and just name them after the year.
When you mentioned 2018. That, I just immediately, my brain went straight to, does Little Richard have a Christmas album and how many? Because you know they've got to be terrifying if they exist. You know.
And Santa Claus walked into the house.
And Santa Claus walked into the orgy. Because you know Little Richard was wild when he wasn't a Christian preacher.
The Three Stooges came out with a Christmas album.
That's worse than Alvin and the Chipmunks.
It's really bad.
That's horrific.
It's not worth a second listen, but some of the songs we like play just a second or two clips. Or other songs that are really amazing, like, you know, certainly Mae West, Put the Loot in the Boot, Santa. That's an amazing song. Where she sings about, you know, last year's, last year's platinum mine was nice, but this year, Santa, it's uranium or no dice.
Ooh.
She wanted a radioactive
Cold
mine.
War. Yeah. She was going in on it.
She's getting nuclear weapons.
Yeah. You know? And then every Christmas, Fausto teases out his hair and then goes up against the piano and does his Judy Garland impression. Have yourself. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That was pretty damn good.
Yeah, because you got to put a lot of vowels into everything. Alf. There's like three E's.
Will you join us for our Christmas special where we're inviting some of our favorite Feast of Fun guests all in the same room together?
You mean I'll be singled out as a favorite guest? Yeah. Me? I'll be there.
Of course.
I think it's the ones who can show up.
You know, whoever has a free schedule, honestly. Whoever, it's just like,
you've never met Brian Sweeney.
Probably not.
But you know Carmen Nyberger.
Yes, I did meet her. She's fabulous and sweet and kind.
Mm-hmm. And so they're all...
She'll be coming over on Tuesday.
We're all going to get together one last time before the year ends.
Fabulous.
And look at the past years and reminisce and celebrate. And it's really one of my favorite episodes. That is really, to me, my favorite episode. Because I really love you guys so much. And
so
you're a big reason why we do this show.
You're so sweet.
Isn't he sweet?
I know, right? Isn't he full shit?
Yeah.
Couldn't you just...
He was blowing smoke up your ass when you arrived, and now you're leaving.
I know.
More smoke. You just
can't get the hell out.
You can't handle it, can you?
I really can't handle
it. You're going to like leave, and you're like, why was he complimenting me?
It's just like...
And you're going to think about it all day.
It's just like, I know I'm pretty, crazy. But...
Well, I always ask myself, what would Mr. Rogers do? And I was just like, I was wondering if, you know, and I'm trying to get Officer Clemens... The black police officer who grew up to be this really fabulous, sassy gay guy.
Yeah.
To be like, did anybody just ever snap at Mr. Rogers and be like, you're such a phony. Fuck you, Fred.
You're fake ass. Yeah, you don't like anybody. I bet you're racist. Like,
you didn't want to say, you were just using me.
Did you piss in my coffee, Fred? Like, they're just making shit up now.
Well, there was a rumor. Foot baths together.
There was a rumor that Fred Rogers was a sniper in the Vietnam War.
Well, if Julia Child was a fucking spy, anything can happen.
I know.
I know, right? How are you going to be a 6'4" female spy? What's that? Where are you hiding?
I think she was more into the paperwork than actually, like, putting on a trench coat.
I'm so Where's the bomb? Like, I don't. Could you say it again into my microphone? I don't. Will there be eggs? I can't. It makes no sense. Not at all. Fausto's dead. Fausto's literally red right now.
Okay, we got this.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.